time is here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101, Recovery 101, Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMADA. Is there DA?
District Attorney? We don't speak for the District Attorney.
No. Or any of the mayor guys. We don't even speak that well for ourselves, as you're about to discover. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Shelly.
And Mark.
Awesome. We're sitting in a different seating arrangement.
Does it make you nervous to be sitting next to you like this?
No.
Okay.
No, because you brought cigars from the islands.
Yes.
But it's weird because, I don't know, everything's backwards. But it's okay. So, Shelly?
Yes.
How was your day?
It was good.
There you go.
But slightly disappointing.
Slightly?
Well, we can't exactly say why. No spoilers allowed.
Of course there are.
But...
You can always say, if you haven't seen Star Wars yet, turn your computer down for the next 12 seconds or something like that. But
no, that's not fair.
Okay.
Yeah, but regarding?
Regarding what?
You can talk about what it's regarding in a general sense.
It's just, the movie was good. I was just...
What movie?
The one we saw.
Okay.
Yeah, that no one at home knows what it is.
Mark just said Star Wars.
Oh.
I didn't say which one, though.
Yeah. There you go.
You know,
shocker,
Darth Vader
dies.
Yeah.
As a Star Wars OG...
Original gangster.
Yes, I just want to stay in my little 1977 and 1983 bubble, and I want everyone else to go away.
I feel like that often.
Jar Jar going away.
I get that feeling a couple times a week.
Yeah, I refuse to even see episode 2 and 3 because of that stupid Binks character.
There's a game I used to play called Galactic Battlegrounds, which was like Age of Empires for Star Wars.
Oh.
Let me tell you, and I can't remember what the name of his race is or whatever. Those guys were awesome in that game.
Gungan.
The Gungans, yeah. They were awesome in that game. They rocked.
I had a guy ask me an interesting question a couple weeks ago.
Hmm.
If he decided to sit down because he's never seen Star Wars and watch them in order, do you start with 4 or 1?
I would definitely start with 1, and the reason for that is because the other factor in me not bothering to see episodes 2 and 3 is because it's like Lucas created the ultimate spoiler. I already know how it's going to turn out and where the characters came from and everything. So what's the point of seeing it?
You don't really
to watch
know
the
where
development.
They came from.
You do.
Not
yes,
really.
You do.
I mean, look at what's his name, Alec Guinness. This guy that
Obi-Wan?
Wrote this thing had never seen, who had never seen the movies before, and he's like, I hear so much about Obi-Wan Kenobi. This guy's in the entire movie for like 7 minutes. He's like hardly in the movie at all. If you think about it, he's only in it just a few scenes. And everyone talks about it like, oh, it's Obi-Wan
Kenobi. But
that's
just episode 4 because he, you know, his ghostly image comes back in other...
Yeah, but for like 5 minutes each movie, you know, I mean, it's like, it's really his... He is a gigantic character for how long he was actually in the movie.
I know, but like in episode 5, he was like pivotal at one point for Luke.
See, she's a geek because I don't even remember which one episode 5 is. The Empire Strikes Back?
Yes.
Oh, okay. There you go. How was your day, Mark?
Not bad. Friend of mine flew in from D.C. last night.
Nice.
My He had called and asked if I could pick him up from the airport and drive him to Ontario so he could rent a car.
Pick him up from the Ontario airport?
Pick him up from LAX.
Oh.
Drive him to Ontario so he could rent a car. Because it was phenomenally cheaper.
Oh, yeah. I had the dope fiend friend who wanted to rent a car at the airport.
Yeah.
Spent $300-something a day.
Uh-huh. So I picked him up at LAX, drove him to pick up the car, couldn't get a hold of the person he was supposed to be staying with last night.
That's weird.
So he stayed on my couch, which is fine. Good friend.
Yeah.
Even though my son was there, I said, well, I have half a couch. You guys figure out who's going to spoon who. No. So they, got up this morning, breakfast, watched football. He seemed in no hurry to leave.
Uh-oh. Still hadn't gotten a hold of his friend?
Suddenly, 11:45, he goes, oh, I got to go. He left, went and picked his daughters up, came back. So my whole day was kind of...
Went and picked up his daughters, brought them back to your place.
Yeah, brought them back to my place.
What happened with the guy he's staying with?
Or whatever. Just decided it'd be more fun to come back to my house. There was football on and food being made. So,
well, you know, you got to give him credit for that.
Yep. So he came, hung out till about 3, and headed down to San Diego for the first scheduled leg of his journey while he's here. But, you know.
Did you ever find out what happened with the other person?
Yeah, they had hurt their foot.
I was going to say, was there ever really another person?
Yeah, she hurt her foot, so her husband gave her something to take so her foot wouldn't bother her, and it knocked her out last night, so she wasn't answering her phone. So
yeah, that will happen.
Yeah.
That will happen. Now, my day today, on the other hand, I like the Star Wars movie.
Could you see it?
The screen was 40 feet, you know, like not that far away. So, yeah, that was way better than trying to watch something on my computer, I can tell you that. The eye thing is not clearing up as quickly as I would like. So, although, actually, at this moment right now, right this very moment, is the best it's been in a long time. It's just that every morning when every morning when I get up, it's horrific. But at this moment right now, it's actually pretty clear. I can actually read that thing that's over there that says it's good to be the queen. I can actually read that, which a couple weeks ago I
could not
have seen where the thing was at all. So we'll see. So
yes,
you know what that means.
What?
Do you know what that means, Shelley?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. Awesome. We did not get a lot of news sent in this week, but we've got a bunch of shout-outs anyway because I decided to just shout-out to some people that we don't normally always shout-out to anyway. So we have shout-outs to Stryker, Carol, Terminally Unique Apparel, James, Dan, Natalie, Georgette, The Monty Band, Rebellion Dogs, Dakota, Joey, Fantastic, Bill Piper, Robert, Donald, Yvette, Cindy, Marie, Lori Faith, Sally, Greg, Randy, Alexandria, and Jack. So the first story is from Bill. It's a rather long and involved story. It's interesting. And what he wrote when he sent it was that, you know, should any books be banned? And he said, today we hear a lot about the Quran or banning terrorist Muslim thoughts and ideas on the internet. How do you draw the line? Back in the day, one of the slogans I kept hearing was, who shall watch the watchers who watch? It was a moral challenge and a reminder never to believe we were better than some people or other people.
Wait, are you quoting Bill or reading the entire story?
No, this is from Bill.
Oh, okay.
Am I not doing this right for you?
No, I just want a clarification.
I said this is what Bill said. I haven't gotten to the story yet.
Okay, I didn't know that the whole thing was from Bill.
Okay. And what the story is about, it's one of the most hateful books ever written.
Mein Kampf?
Banned in Germany for over 70 years. And, yes. So, it's run its course. Like, after 70 years or whatever, the publishing copyright things are off. And so, apparently, the gloves are off. And they can now print it in Germany. Now, of course, it's already in print in lots of other places. No one's ever gone after anyone who printed it because, I guess, why would you? And there's a lot of versions of it available for, like, universities and things like that. What do you guys think about that?
The library I worked at maintained 6 copies at all times.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Kids study it in history classes, so we had to have some available for, you know, the random college student that might come in to want to check it out. Some people just wanted to read it because it's a historical document.
Mm.
It is. I mean,
yeah.
Was he whacked? Completely.
Yeah.
Was he a murdering asshole? Completely.
Yeah.
Did he ruin the lives of 27 million people? Or take the lives of 27 million people? Absolutely. But it's still a historical document. And I don't think anything like that should ever be banned, because all that does is make people want to go and read it more.
I don't think sometimes people realize when you talk about, like, the amount of people killed. Like, you know, we always hear about the atomic bomb, how many people it killed. So that killed, like, whatever it was, 30 or 40,000 at one crack. When the firebombing of Tokyo killed 200,000 at one crack.
Yeah.
And Russia lost 29 million civilians and soldiers in World War II. It's crazy. What do you think, Mark? Banned, not banned?
As long as we let Oliver Stone make movies, then we should go ahead and let everything else go on, too.
There you go. There you go. That's probably not a bad thought.
The definitive Recovery 101 position.
That's right.
Man cuts off his ear.
Yeah. Better alternative.
To look more like his parrot.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Van Gogh.
No, Van Gogh. When I first saw it, I thought for sure it was going to be a Van Gogh thing.
Van Gogh.
This guy's name is Ted Richards. He's 56 years old, and he's obsessed with his pet parrot. The parrot's named Ellie.
Oh.
And, well, actually, he's got several parrots.
Does he live alone?
But Ellie seems to be the one.
No, he lives with parrots.
So, he has 110 tattoos, 50 piercings, and a split tongue.
That's why he lives with parrots.
Yeah.
And all of these things to make him look more like
a
parrot.
Is he going to start sprouting feathers soon?
Perfect.
You know, I wish you guys could see the picture of this guy. This guy is like, and he's got other body modifications. He's got
like a weird
thing
tongues?
With like lumps put into his head and stuff.
Do parrots have split tongues?
I don't know.
But this guy does.
He might have done that first. Who knows? He's a retired shoe factory worker.
Huh.
Oh, he's retired?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's hard to hold a job. It's hard to hold a job when you look like that.
Yeah.
And you can't talk because of the tongue.
But he got his first hat in 76, and he's built up a large collection of body modifications since then. So, anyway, he shares his life in Bristol with 4 parrots, as well as a South American green iguana named Iggy.
Ah.
There's an original name for an iguana.
Oh, and a pit bull named Cindy.
Of course.
At least Cindy, the pit bull's name is not Christine Brinkley.
Christine Brinkley.
Because then we have a whole different kind of story going on.
A whole new story going on. That's right.
He says he spends most of his time scouring the internet looking for new procedures and modifications that could help him look more like his parrot. He looks... No, he just looks like a poxy git. I mean, he doesn't really look like a parrot at all.
I can solve his problem. Hot glue gun. Colored feathers from the hobby store.
Yes.
Does this guy stand on a log and crap on paper?
Yeah. This I think,
he's got
is...
a salt brick and he pecks at it with his,
that's right,
with his teeth.
This, I think, is my favorite story of the next two shows. Greg sent this in, and the guy's name is Curtis Mayfield.
The Curtis Mayfield?
No.
Okay.
Least, I was going to say,
at least
that sounds familiar.
After hearing this story.
Okay.
So the story is, Greg said about it, it doesn't say, but I bet drugs and or booze were involved. I wouldn't be surprised if it happened in Florida. But it doesn't say it happened in Florida.
Okay.
Man kills friend after their balls touch during a three-way.
Well, it makes perfect sense to me.
Well, the quote, this is a quote from Curtis Mayfield, who has no qualms telling everyone he killed the guy. I mean, the guy admitted it. He said, you got to pardon, because he's going to say the N-word here. He says, there's only so much a nigga can take, and balls nor dick will never be one of them.
Well, they will now.
They are now.
Yeah, in jail.
That's his regular diet now.
So here's the thing. Apparently they were sandwiching this girl. So they're having a three-way, two guys and a girl. And Curtis, quote, I yelled switch, you know, from mouth to butt. And he went left when he should have gone right.
That is always the conundrum.
And next thing you know, we were balls to balls. And he has zero remorse about offing his friend. His only regret on the entire thing is that his balls touched another man's balls. Dead silence.
How unspectacular was the female?
I don't know. Okay. Didn't say much about that. Here are some interesting...
He is going to have one of those, I immediately regret this decision moments, the minute he's in jail, because, yeah, if he didn't even want to get that
and
close...
And especially if you tell everybody why you're in, because now you become a challenge.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Three meals a day and all the loving he could want.
That's right. So.
Holy crap.
That's right. Okay. 6 months from now, you won't be able to tell the difference between a fart and a yawn.
Yikes. So now we have.
But I'm glad he's in jail. If that's all it takes to get him to kill somebody,
and we should limit his water.
Yeah.
Yes. It's from the TSA. Stuff about the TSA.
Oh, geez.
This may come as a surprise to people in Australia. I don't know why they pick us for this, but you can travel with your firearms if you check them in baggage.
Right.
So. This is a whole bunch of weird TSA stuff that they've found that really shouldn't be something you would even attempt to take on a plane these times of days. In these days. An avalanche starter.
Why would you want to start an avalanche?
Because they do start avalanches on purpose. Like if the snow is built up to a certain
isn't
thing.
Isn't that like a cannon?
I know that I've seen them use cannons, but apparently an avalanche control charge was discovered in a carry-on bag.
So explosives.
Explosives, yes.
Nice.
Let's see. Grenades. More than 140 inert or other novelty grenades were discovered last year by the TSA. So that means even novelty ones. It's like the fact that it looks like a grenade. Why would you try and take that on a plane?
Well, it reminds me of something that happened to one of our young friends. He used to wear a bullet. It was had been spent. There was nothing inside of it, but it had a hole drilled in the top of it to turn it into a necklace.
Yeah.
And he tried, excuse me, I'm still trying to fight off this sinus infection. He tried to get on a plane, and he's got this necklace on. He didn't even think about it because he wore it all the time. And they said, you can't get on the plane with that. He's like, but I can't do anything with it. I mean, it's empty. There's a hole. Look. They wouldn't let him take, no matter what he said. And this was actually a while ago. I mean, quite a while ago. They relieved him of the bullet, and he got on the plane. His mom was going out of that same airport like a year ago. They have a big display in one part of the lobby of...
That has that
That
in
has
it?
Things that are not allowed on planes. His necklace is in the display.
Is Dad's Swiss Army knife in the display?
One of them. Our Dad was relieved of probably 6 Swiss Army knives over the years. Because he couldn't get it through his head that he couldn't take them on the plane. And he'd have it in his pocket and forget about it.
I have lost a number of things. Cigar torches, cutters. Did you see the gun that was
confiscated about 4 months ago? No.
6-year-old
boy. He had Buzz Lightyear's toy gun.
Oh, my God.
Literally the one with the double red front
that yeah.
like makes colors and sound.
They took it away.
Confiscated it.
Like dicks.
That's not a weapon. That's a toy. And if we are employing people that don't know the difference, this explains a lot. It's not a replica of a gun. There's no gun that looks like that.
It's barely a replica of a toy.
Holy
you know
crap.
One of the top,
they're
one
stupid.
One of the top things to go on planes is? Axes and mallets. Who's going to let axes and mallets on a plane? How about... A meat slicer.
Who the hell takes a meat slicer on board on a plane? What the hell?
Southwest Florida International Airport stopped a guy because you can take the blades off the meat slicer, and they're quite sharp. I actually cut the ends off of just the tips off of two of my fingers once when I worked for Carl's Jr. Those blades are really, 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 really sharp. Yeah, really. Like, it just went zip, and I looked, and I went, oh, my.
My son and I went to spring training 15 years ago. We saw the San Francisco Giants. Bobby Bonds signed a bat for my son.
Nice.
Not Bobby Berry.
I was going to say Bobby Bonds.
Barry Bonds
yeah.
signed a bat for my son. We had flown for the day. We got back. I went to go back on the plane. We did not let him take the bat on board. Clearly, an autographed piece of memorabilia for a 9-year-old boy. Cannot
Couldn't check it in?
Cannot take it. I finally convinced them to let me check it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm like, are you kidding? You realize everybody's here for spring training, right?
And then it may come as a surprise, because it came as a surprise to me, something that's quite often trying to take on the plane in the Pacific Northwest is bear mace. This is mace that supposedly will stop a bear in its tracks.
Can I take that one?
Apparently not.
All right, then.
It's bear mace.
I'm glad we've had this little educational moment.
Speaking of bears.
Why did anybody try to take that crap on a plane anyway?
Somebody could have used bear mace for this. Fresno neighborhood. Guys had been up by this campground, the trash guys, picking up garbage.
Yeah.
They drive back into town, not realizing that a bear had climbed into the back of the trash truck.
Oh, how exciting.
For lunch. Bear fell asleep back there. When they get yeah. in the middle of the neighborhood, they start to crank up the thing. Bear climbs out, takes off running around the neighborhood.
Now they've transported the bear away from its home.
Bear's name is Cinnamon. Apparently, this bear has been found before. And he's also tagged, and my thought was, didn't the tag let you know that the bear wasn't up at the campground anymore? Apparently no one really checks the tags very often. But anyway, he ran around. Of course, the animal control guys go, well, it's pretty rare that we get a bear popping out of the back of a garbage truck. And I'm like, oh, yeah, well, it happens around here all the time.
I would hope so.
Yeah, it happens around here all the time. But the bear has been taken back up to the wildlife thing, and they tranquilized him pretty good. It says the next time he wakes up, he'll be smack right back dab where he was when he started. It'll have all been a dream, yes. Scientology. Officially outlawed in the Soviet Union because they say it's not an actual religion.
They're a little late to the party. Everybody
well,
knows
it's
that.
It's legal lots of places, though, as a religion. It's legal in the United States as a religion. You don't pay any taxes or anything. But the Russians said, that's ridiculous. It was written by L. Ron Hubbard and on a dare or on a bet. And they're like, that's just ridiculous. They go, it doesn't even fall under the category of religion for us at all. And so they had opened this rather posh thing, like spent $1 zillion opening this thing in Moscow, about a block from Red Square, and they shut it down. Of course, they're trying to sue the Russian government because they're holding back tens of thousands of people from discovering
from
Scientology.
From achieving enlightenment and meeting the aliens?
Yes. Oh, yes. Now, That was the other thing I was going to say. According to the church, they use a meter. The church uses a meter.
Yes, it's an auditing meter.
That measures a number of things, including the amount of body thetans.
Yes.
In an individual. According to the church, these are the souls of aliens brought to planet Earth 75 million years ago.
Yes.
And what I have to say is, yep, that's right. It's aliens.
It's aliens. Yeah, they call it auditing. And basically what it is you have to go in there and you hold these two metal bars, and it's supposed to measure, because this stuff interferes with you, these thetans or whatever the heck they are. It interferes with you. It causes stress and anxiety in your life and causes you to do negative things, and it decreases your level of serenity and enlightenment. You have to tell them everything about yourself, everything that ever happened in your life, every single little detail. Which is why Tom Cruise will never be able to break away, because they have all of his dirty laundry. The same thing with Travolta and all of the stars, because they've now achieved enlightenment and done all this auditing, which was really basically just a blackmail list.
Travolta's wife bailed, right?
I think she did. I'm not sure.
They must not have had much dirt on her.
She never was. That was the thing, that both Katie Holmes and Kelly Preston, neither one of them became Scientologists.
Oh.
Nor did Nicole Kidman.
Gotcha.
They got to the point where they saw the crazy coming and said, oh, wow, that's really excessive. Okay, bye.
Well, that, my friends, is the end of the boozy news.
I thought we were going to do...
Oh, yeah. Whoa. We got one more. Yes. Mark has a story. A very recovery-related story.
Robert Downey Jr. has officially been pardoned.
Sweet.
Dude. Sweet.
So
I'm sitting in the chair.
I'm thinking Jerry Brown did it.
He finally did something decent.
Decided that he has lived an exemplary life. I always interpret that to mean donated heavily to my party.
Yeah.
actually, no. He's a Republican.
One other thing, speaking about government intervention, I just thought of something. And the state of California. So we get a notice the other day. We are now, on December 30th, as of now, by the time the show goes up, we are charging CRVs on mattresses and boxes. $11 a piece. Now, this is to help recycle mattresses. Here's the rub.
Where do we redeem them at?
No.
They want you to take the mattress to a recycling center. They don't give you anything back for it.
No, not at all.
You
have to pay.
And it's not like
$22 a set.
It's not like an aluminum can either. So what they're doing is they're charging people a recycling fee. They're not requiring any mattresses get recycled. And if you do recycle, they don't give you any money. But we have to make a spot for it on the invoice that shows we charge it and then give the money to the government. What the hell? I could see it if they're like, yeah, you bring the – because when we first heard of it, we're like, this is going to be awesome. We'll take the – you know, we'll take 10 mattresses to the thing. We'll get $100-something. It'll pay for my guys to go over there. It'll keep me from having stacks of mattresses near my store.
Nope.
No, not at all. Not even required to recycle. And either are we as the vendor. We're not required to recycle either. And I'm like, what is the point?
So this is just a tax.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Under the guise of not being a tax. And the other interesting thing is, the guys on the board of directors of this nonprofit that's been in charge of this are all big mattress guys.
Ah.
And, of course, it's nonprofit, so you got to pay them a lot of money so you don't show any profit. Because here's the thing. The state isn't recycling them directly. They have certain recycling companies that would do it for them. So the state's not spending any money on recycling, which means all the money they take in from these $11 each piece in the largest mattress market in the world has to be spent, because it's a nonprofit, and has to be spent paying everyone's salaries and all that.
I'm looking for a job.
I need a job on the board of directors of that.
That's BS.
Iffy. And that, my friends, is the end of the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Hello.
Oh, I thought Shelly was going to
give
it an Christmas gift.
Yep, not so much.
Oh, that show hasn't gone up yet, though. Asking, or maybe, I don't know, has it? I don't think so. Asking people to vote on whether you should sing or something. You could just do it. I mean,
I could not, as a
preliminary shot.
I'm just telling people right now. I don't really care what they say. I'm not doing it.
So, Shelly, we have a topic.
Awesome. What is it? Because I was inside getting cup of noodles when you guys were talking about this.
We talked about it.
I know, but I don't know what you're doing. Get down with your bad self.
Step 10.
Oh, are we doing step 10?
Step 10.
Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it.
That's the next indicated step.
Promptly.
Promptly.
With a quickness.
With the quickness. Now, some people have a tendency to save up data and then do another fourth step on it. But the reality, because I always wondered when I hear people say, oh, I'm working on my third, fourth step with my sponsor, I'm like, so apparently you have no 10th step, right? Because if you had a 10th step, you shouldn't be building up a ton of stuff for inventory.
You still tend to.
Yeah. The things that you don't make the amends for right away.
Yeah. The things that you justify in your head.
Yeah, usually if you're doing what you should be doing and bouncing off your sponsor, though, he'll usually take care of the justifications for you and say,
I don't know that I bounce a lot of 10-step stuff off my sponsor.
No?
No, I think a lot of 10-step stuff, I sit quietly at night and think of ways to justify it.
Well, and actually, that's what the book tells you to do, not the justification, but to sit quietly and ponder it.
I sat quietly and pondered this, and I decided it was their fault.
How about you, Shelly?
I've got page 86 in the big book. I was informed that I needed to read that every night because it says, upon retiring, we think back over our day. Where had we harmed another individual? Where did we owe an amends? So,
and then?
And I was not told to stop doing that. Although I've stopped actually reading it. I used to keep the book with me.
Yeah, because you kind of know it now.
Because now, yeah, I just sit there in bed, okay, where's the wreckage? Where is the wreckage? And then I have to fix things. And so occasionally something will come up and I'll go back later and say, by the way, I'm really sorry about what I said or did. I didn't mean to or whatever. You know, I was wrong. However, I'm going to make that amends or fix that.
What do you tell your sponsees? Exactly
to
that.
Read page 86 every night when they go. Dude, I have to sponsor people the way I was sponsored. That's the way I learned it. That's the way I show it. I mean, my suggestion is that you read that page every night, and if you read that page every night, you'll end up doing 10 steps as you go along because that's the point of it. That's the purpose.
Well, what I've always done is I always tell guys when they're writing inventory, if you think you got it all, great. Let's just go ahead and blow out the inventory. And if there's anything else you remember because, you know, you've gotten those juices flowing, then 10th step it.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm a big fan of when people are doing an inventory, get the biggest lion's share out of there and then worry about, you know, if other things you forget later.
I always tell them more will be revealed. At some point in the next few months, you'll suddenly go, ooh, and you'll remember something and it'll burn for a while. And then you'll talk to me. We can do a written 10th step and get rid of it.
How about you, Mark? What do you talk to sponsees about?
A lot of them I talk to them about what they have to do to get to the 10th step.
Yeah.
So
there is that.
But yeah, you know, it's like, you know, you guys, you know, I feel like I sponsored a bunch of ballerinas, you know.
Nice. Dancing all over the place?
1, 2, 3 kick. 1, 2, 3 kick.
Well, and you know what? It's like playing the percentages because if you think about it, of all the people you've sponsored, what percentage of them do you think have ever even gotten to the 10th step?
Me, and that's what all I care about.
Yeah, me.
They get there and they work it, to my knowledge, because they seem to be doing well. And you know, they call, they check in, and everything's going well, and they talk about, you know, this happened the other day, and I had to go clean it up, and, you know, well, good. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
See, for me, percentage-wise, mm-hmm. I got to say 90% of them drop at about step four.
Yeah.
And then so only about
5%. One, two, three, kick.
5% of them ever get to step 10. Now, mm-hmm. Shelley, you've had people that got to step 10 in, like, 90 days.
Two. Out of the four that made it all the way through that portion of the program.
That's pretty stunning. I don't think I've ever had anyone go that fast.
There was a little motivation behind that. And in both cases, I told them at the outset what my sponsor told me. When the pain you are in is greater than your fear of discovery, you will dump this. I mean, you know, because pain's a great motivator.
Right.
My sponsor always told me by the time the pain gets greater than the fear, you better be working this program.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, yeah. We knew another guy that was real fast. We knew a guy, Joe. He blazed really fast through all of his steps. And I remember he was telling his sponsor, Roger, at the meeting, you know, Eric Coffee, you know, hey, I've been doing fantastic. I'm already done with this. I'm done with that. I'm all good. I'm, you know, getting involved in step 12. I'm like, wow, that was really fast. And he goes, yeah. I go, you better really watch your ass right now. And he goes, why? I'm like, because you're like a 90-day wonder. You know, wonder how you're going to keep that 90 days. And then, like, a week later, he came in and said, oh, I drank. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I tell you to watch out. And then he got sober again, and as far as I know, is still sober.
Yeah.
With, like, years of time. But I told him, I said, man, whenever I hear people rocketing through steps like that, I'm like, you better watch your ass. Better watch your ass. Now, what do you guys think let's say you think of it, you do your meditation at night, and you think about it. How soon do you have to get in touch with that person or write that situation?
Well, if it's you, I just come out to the garage. I get out of bed, but that hasn't happened in a very long
time. I was
going to
say, which, by the way, she never, ever, ever does.
I have a couple of times a long time ago, but it hasn't happened lately. Most of the time, it's just the next day.
The only amend she could owe you is, I am really sorry that I thought about killing you when you made this comment the other day.
I'm sure there's some of that.
Which, to show up at the door and wait for you to 10-step the comment.
Yes.
Yeah, but that never happens.
Yeah.
Oh, so there's a new resentment.
No, it's just long-standing policy.
Oh.
There is no such thing as 10-step. Not in this house.
I 10-step all the time.
Yeah.
I do. I've told you. You know what? I think this is where Shelley's thing comes. If I think there's something I need to be sorry about, I don't usually wait until after I've thought about it at night. I'll do it like in the same conversation. We'll have an argument or something. Mm-hmm. And I'll go, okay, I want to tell you I'm sorry.
Yeah.
She's looking at me like I never do that.
I know.
It's exceedingly rare. Usually your 10 steps take the form of, well, I'm sorry I'm not doing it right.
That sounded smarmy.
And that's exactly how he says it. And he's taken to saying, well, am I not doing this the correct way? Am I not doing this fast enough for you? And I stopped trying to pacify him. Mm-hmm. Now I just say, no, yeah, you're doing it wrong. You're not fast enough. Or you're not doing, you know, move over.
There you go.
Now you notice, and she says she hasn't made a 10-step to me in years.
I didn't say years. You only said it's been a long time.
You only need to make amends for something if you did something wrong.
Yeah.
Like that.
What?
Yeah. What? Like that.
I don't have to make amends for that. I was agreeing with you.
I get a lot of that kind of amends type of thing.
Oh, Paul.
Yeah, but that's all cute. That's all cute relationship banter.
It's not always that cute.
It is if you look at it that way.
Well, as I try to.
Yes, because that saves a lot of trouble.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I'm very good at letting things go.
Yeah.
I have a really power. I tell Shelley all the time, do you need to borrow my higher power? Because mine's really good at taking stuff away.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. There it goes. Phew, out the window.
So we never got to, when do you think you need to do the amends by? Well, if you tell your sponsor or something.
Promptly is pretty clear. I mean, like, if it comes up at, like, my usual bedtime, which is somewhere between midnight and 1 a.m., I'm probably not going to call you right then. Because then I'm going to have to apologize.
You can call me right then.
Well, I know I could. I'd wake you up at the computer. But, because then I have to make another Mencie the next day for waking you up in the middle of the night.
No, there is that.
So, you know, I mean, I'll address the issue as soon as it's possible to do. I'm not going to, depending upon what it is, you know, a lot of times with DMs, it's just looking at what did I do, and I just need to not do that anymore.
And how about you, Shelly? How quick? What would you tell Sponsee?
Depending on the hour of the day, as soon as you think of it, as soon as it comes up. But the reality is that as time has gone on and you've got some more time in the program, you've sort of figured out how to be a normal, decent human being again. Most of us, that at least most people I know, can't sit with that for too long because
we don't bother.
Yeah, I mean, why would I want to sit there and stew in something or feel bad about something or have guilt or anything like that when I can just fix it right away?
Mm-hmm. True.
I don't have tolerance for that kind of angst anymore. And most of the people I know that have been around and have worked the steps and have gone through the whole process are the same way.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you work the program anymore or do you just kind of live the program?
I think it works me.
I live it. I'm a walking embodiment of the program.
Sorry.
I could read by the glow you put off.
I just said sorry.
She's not going to make amends for that. Yeah, see that? I just said sorry.
Yeah.
That was the most honest and sincere sorry I've ever given.
That was one step removed. That was one step removed from the preteen female sorry.
Yes.
Sorry.
Or the new one is sorry, not sorry. Yeah. I hate that. No, actually, I was about to hand you the humble trophy, but, you know, I
still firmly ensconced on this end of the room.
I know.
I don't need the humble trophy. I'm above needing trophies for my massive humbleness. So, Step 10 is not the longest topic subject matter we could possibly have.
No, which is really good because it's really cold out tonight.
It is.
And so we can run out of a couple
short
shows.
So what would your final words on the 10th step be, Mark?
You do a 10th on a daily basis, you're not doing a 4th with any regularity.
There you go. Shelley.
Well, you can sit in the crap or you can clean up your side of the street. It's up to you.
There you go.
I thought of one other thing, but I didn't say it, but even before you get to step 10, doing step 10 is not a bad idea as you're going along. If you're on step 1, 2, or 3, and you really screw someone over during the day, don't leave that for your inventory. Try and clean that mess up right now, maybe under your sponsor's guidance or something. But you know, don't let it fester until it becomes step 4.
Yep.
Mark, we've got a friend in the Inland Empire.
We do. That would be the 12-Step Gazette. You can go to 12stepgazette.com/IE and check out their fine publication.
Awesome. Shelley, people listen to the show, the really big shoe.
Anyway that you listen to the show, we really appreciate it. Thank you. But if you could go to our website, recovery101.net, click on one of the shows, click like or permalink. If you are a member of Podomatic, you've just been counted. Thank you very much. That helps us with our demographics. If you're not a member, you will have the opportunity to become a member. It is free.
And fun.
And you can like old shows. You can leave comments and topic suggestions. You can follow us. That will give you automatic updates when we post the show. And you can put us on your playlist for all your hot party needs.
Whoop, whoop. If you are Facebook friendly, it's real easy to join the like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page, and really easy to join Podomatic. You just click log in with Podomatic or log in with Facebook. If you want to be anonymous on Facebook, you can join the Recovery 101 secret group.
Shh.
Now, of course, being that it is a secret group, you cannot find it unless you.
Doesn't
know
that make it hard to join?
Well, yes. Normally, it would. But if you message...
You have a way?
Shelley Burnett, Bruce Burnett, Bill Piper, or like or mentioned on the Recovery 101 radio show fan page, if you send a message there, we will add you to the group. And you can converse with all the people that you hear we give shout-outs to. And
Could I send you an email asking you to add me?
You could. You could do that to recovery101radio@gmail.com. Okay. We also have videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101. Rule 62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We don't. Shelley, the name of your book?
Shelley Burnett, Updated Her Status.
Available on Amazon.
I'm just sitting over here wondering how the hell we got a fan page. Why do we have fans? We don't have fans.
We do. We have people that like us.
Why?
We don't know why.
I know.
Don't ask that question.
That.
Don't ask questions we don't have answers to.
So, Shelley, who's the lead-up music by? Deer?
I
in
just
the headlights.
Lost all the names.
Because you lost your seat, yeah.
My brain just went completely blank. Our new friend.
Who?
What was his name?
The one who hung out with that girl.
Damon?
Damon Robertson, yes.
Okay. See, I know that.
Thank you.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.